Glickman?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Have you seen Mr. Franklin? Do you know him?
I'm sorry, I'm Attorney Franklin. I apologize.
Okay.
Good morning. Attorney Andrew Franklin on behalf of Martin Avila, the defendant appellant. Your Honors, I am asking for the court to enforce its previous decision in this case. When this case first came up on appeal, it was because of a Scrivener's error in which the wrong penalty had been assessed in the penalty range for the guidelines. Based on that, this court remanded with the instruction to do two things. One is to determine the proper guideline range, and two, to determine the proper criminal history category for my client. What happened is that on remand, additional drugs and evidence were calculated, added into the equation as relevant conduct. Now, based on what had originally gone to the Court of Appeals, the criminal history category was supposed to have been a 36 based on 24,000 odd grams of marijuana. When it came back, that number increased to over 134,000. Based on a new pre-sentence investigation report that was filed, and then the state turned and argued that. The court had considered that and put my client back into a 38 range, but as to the criminal history category, put him into Category 6. There's no dispute here that he shouldn't be in Category 6. That wasn't applied, or appealed, rather. So what we have is a situation of what is the proper guideline points range? Is it a 36 or is it a 38? It's my assertion today that he still ought to be in that 36 category. Now, I base this on a couple of different propositions. The first is that never was there any challenge brought up to the 24,000 odd grams of marijuana that was used to calculate the base level offense. It was never appealed. It was never argued. This court assumed that to be the case upon its decision. So the first time that that was ever changed, challenged, considered, was when it went back to the district court. And that bumped him back up to a 38 category instead of a 36. It's my assertion that while the actual sentence didn't increase, that, in effect, it did, because the legal sentence that could have been imposed should have been no more than, using a category of 7, 327 months, using criminal history category of 6, which ultimately was decided upon, it should have been no more than 293. So the court, the trial court on the resentencing, determined that he should be in base offense level of 38, and then sentenced him in Category 6 criminal history points to a sentence of 365 months. So my assertion today is that he should have been sentenced to no more than 293 months. He was sentenced to 365 months. That is a 72-month increase, six-year increase. It's my assertion that 36 category is the proper, or 36 base level offense is the offense level that should be used. First of all, under Green Law, because I think that Green Law operates to prevent arbitrarily increasing a sentence, I think that this was akin to that because there's no real reason why this extraneous information relating to his relevant conduct and the amount of drugs that was being alleged wouldn't have been brought in when it was known to all parties at the original sentencing. It's as if it was held on to and brought back out when the sentence needed it to justify it. And I don't have any indication for why it was brought up on remand, why it wasn't considered before, and that would only be speculation. But the point is that the United States had their opportunity to argue that the first time around. And so based on the law of the case, that's what should have been in effect, that 24,000 odd grams equivalent of marijuana, that 36 base level offense. The question is, obviously then, what discretion does a court have to reconsider new evidence? I don't believe that there's been a compelling argument made to indicate that the trial court should have considered this new evidence, because I think it was outside the scope of the appeal. I think that there were very simple, straightforward questions that were submitted to the court. It wasn't a question of what is the relevant conduct, it's a question of what is the proper base level offense for the relevant conduct that had been set forth, and that was a 36. And so that was based on what is, I think, agreed upon as the Scrivener's error. My reading of the file indicates, my reading of the court's decision indicate that it was an unfortunate oversight by the trial court that put my client into the wrong category from which he did the initial appeal. He also appealed his criminal history category as well. But the box that he was put in for sentencing purposes and sentencing guidelines chart was just misread, and it wasn't caught until later. This wasn't a substantive disagreement about what my client's actual conduct was. And so to go back after the fact, I think, changes what is settled law for the case. I think that it is outside the scope of any appeal because it was not maintained and thus violates Green law. And I do ask the court, in short, that it remand back to the district court with instructions specifically to enter a sentence for a base level offense of 36 with six criminal history points in that category. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Barry Glickman. I'm an assistant United States attorney in Indianapolis, Indiana. I represent the United States here on appeal today, as I did throughout trial of this matter in the district court below. When this case was remanded back to the district court, the remand was very, very clear. The district court was instructed to first consider the guideline range that properly reflects the amount of drugs that the defendant, Martin Avila, distributed. And the second component of the remand was to take a look at the defendant's criminal history category. Dispensing with the criminal history category first, since it's not the subject of this appeal, Judge Hamilton decided to give what he called the benefit of the doubt to the defendant with regard to his criminal history category and place the defendant in criminal history category 3 from criminal history category 4. Then, at the resentencing, Judge Hamilton did exactly what this court told him to do, and that is he relied on the evidence at trial, the evidence that was adduced at trial, to determine the correct base offense level. There was no new evidence that was considered at the resentencing. Judge Hamilton merely went through the trial transcript and came to a figure which was based on the evidence that was adduced at trial. With regard to the drug amount findings that he made, Judge Hamilton found that Avila was responsible for distributing 58 kilograms of methamphetamine, 80 kilograms of cocaine, and 363 kilograms of marijuana. Now, with the methamphetamine alone, the 58 kilograms, which was clearly testified to at trial by two of Avila's co-conspirators, that amount alone is more than sufficient to place the defendant at a base offense level of 38. Only 15 kilograms of methamphetamine are necessary to place the defendant in base offense level 38. Because there were three different types of drugs in this case, the drug equivalency table was used in 2D1.1E, and all the drugs were converted to marijuana, as one must do when there are multiple controlled substances at issue in a case. And after converting those drugs to marijuana, it was found that there was 132,363 kilograms of marijuana, which is more than 100,000 kilograms necessary to place the defendant in a base offense level of 38. In order to be in a base offense level 38, only 30,000 kilograms of marijuana are required. So this was more than four times the amount of marijuana necessary for the defendant to have been found in base offense level 38. My opponent's contention in the brief and here this morning is that the district court should have maintained the erroneous calculation of the drug quantity attributable to the defendant and resentence him based upon incorrect information. That wasn't what the court was instructed to do on the remand, and there is no legal support for that position. My opponent also suggests that the defendant's sentence on remand, which was 31 months lower than the original sentence, was somehow violative of the cross-appeal rule. And as the court knows, the cross-appeal rule essentially prevents appellate courts from adding years to a defendant's sentence on their own without briefing by the parties. And it certainly was not violated in this case. The cross-appeal rule, as I indicated, wasn't violated because, one, the defendant's sentence was lowered in this case. It wasn't raised. And, secondly, the United States was without any basis to have appealed the original sentence. The original sentence was based upon the correct base offense level of 38, but the calculations in the pre-sentence report were wrong, hence the need for the remand. And if I could also briefly address my opponent's contention that law of the case applies here. In the opinion, which was written by you, Judge Caney, you had indicated in page 813 the amounts of the controlled substances which were testified to. And with respect to one of the co-conspirators of Mr. Avila that I alluded to earlier, Rene Navarubio, the court on page 813 indicated that Avila distributed to him over 100 pounds of methamphetamine. Over 100 pounds of methamphetamine is 45 kilograms of methamphetamine, again, more than the 15 that is required to trigger a base offense level 38. On remand from this court, Judge Hamilton properly calculated the advisory guideline range. He analyzed the salient 3553A factors, and he stated his reasons in imposing a sentence of 365 months. With respect to the nature and circumstances of the case, Judge Hamilton indicated that this was a very serious case. It involved more methamphetamine than any other case that he had presided over as a district court judge. He indicated, with respect to the characteristics and history of the defendant, that this was an individual with a prior drug felony, an individual who had been previously deported from the United States on two prior occasions, prior to him engaging in the extensive drug dealing in this case. The pre-sentence report also alluded to the fact that the defendant had a prior conviction for criminal sexual assault of an individual under the age of 18. Based on all that, Judge Hamilton found that the most important or significant 3553A factor was the need to protect the public from further crimes committed by the defendant. And he imposed a sentence of 365 months, which was squarely within the correctly calculated guideline range. And I might also add that along those lines, Judge Hamilton found that the prospects of rehabilitation of Mr. Avila were, quote-unquote, virtually zero. Because the sentence imposed was squarely within the correctly calculated guideline range, it was both procedurally sound, it was substantively reasonable. Avila has offered nothing to rebut that presumption, and because of that, I am asking this court to respectfully affirm the sentence of 365 months and affirm the judgments of the district court in this case. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Mr. Franklin, anything further?
I do want to point out that
In fact, two people did testify, and I would concede that point, about other conduct at trial. In addition, I would also point out that this court, in its own decision, indicates that there was somewhere over 100, I believe it was 100 pounds of methamphetamines alleged. In all of that, no one stopped to criticize the court for finding only 24,000 equivalency grams of marijuana. That was never challenged. That was never contested, apparently not by this court, apparently by no one, even though it was, quite frankly, known. It was an open issue. There was no secret about it. And to say that it was a clear error now, I just think it's an argument that does not have much weight. I think that it prejudices my client after the fact to increase ex post facto the amount of drugs alleged against him. And from his perspective, it was a punitive thing to do. It increased his sentence, and this is not a clear error. Again, calculating weight and relevant conduct is discretionary, and there are a half a dozen other co-actors, and they all had different sentences from this case. Calling it a clear error, I think, is not accurate. I think that there may have been a judgment. I think that there's discretion involved. And I don't believe that when discretion is exercised at the trial level the first time around, that it is appropriate to re-exercise that discretion in order to enforce a specific goal of sentencing. And with that, I will conclude my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. You took this case by appointment, did you?
I'm sorry?
You took the case by appointment?
Yes, I did.
I want to thank you for the representation of your client in this matter and for taking the case.
Thank you. And if I missed you calling the case earlier, the acoustics are bad and my hearing's a little bit off, so I do apologize if I'd missed something earlier. Thank you.
With that, the court will be in recess briefly while we change the members of the panel.